Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, Ione. Hi, everyone. I'm Gina, the senior editor of Polyester.
And I'm Ione, the founding editor-in-chief of Polyester. And this is the Polyester Podcast, a feminist pop culture podcast dissecting the discourse on a weekly basis.
Before we start, if you're a fan of this podcast, please make sure to like, rate and subscribe. And if you really love us, you can sign up for a podcast membership where you can join our Discord and get on our Instagram close friends for only £3 a month. Do we have any reviews, Ione?
We do. 5 stars, great. Came from the Saltburn episode. You two should definitely do more media reviews. It was so entertaining. That is by Jack Thomas Franklin via Apple Podcasts in the UK. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack Thomas Franklin.
Although Gina has an axe to grind with reviews this week.
There's been some bad reviews that I'm not friends with.
Tell me more.
They're saying that we hate Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And because we hate Taylor Swift, we're not very good feminists.
Yeah. I'm being mean about my research.
Yeah, I'm being mean about the research, which was winding me up, because they're like, all you do is read out research. But I'm like, would you not rather have us referencing our sources of thought that we then go off on one from than just pretending everything was ourselves? Because I think that's like such a problem within the media, is that everyone just acts like, doesn't share their sources for things.
Yeah.
And we're really great and perfect, so we do.
It's true. Yeah, I think, you know what? Did your mothers not teach you, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all?
I know, but that's the thing with anything, and like, you always see businesses with like 2-star reviews and all of them are just people being naggy, but you wouldn't really leave a review for being kind. And I think more people should do that for our podcast. If you do like it, please leave nice reviews, because otherwise we get in a little hole and we're like, I don't want to do a podcast anymore. And if we didn't have a podcast anymore, what the bloody hell would you listen to on a Monday morning?
That's very true.
Anyway.
Okay.
Go on, Ione, what are we doing this week?
This week, today, also we are recording this on International Women's Day. Happy International Women's Day, Gina Sonic.
Oh, thank you very much. Happy International Women's Day, Ione Gamba.
Thank you.
Danielle messaged me this morning in the group chat. I was like, shut up.
Today we're doing Learned Helplessness. The kids are not all right. The internet is hell. All of these things kind of in one, I feel.
Yeah, the kids aren't having a good time. What's the reason why? And how much of it is down to the lack of critical thinking, I suppose, or like the enforced lack of critical thinking that's come about to that generation through not just the internet, but primarily the internet, but loads of other factors like COVID, underfunded schools and art programs, gentle parenting, all these different factors that tie into it. Why are you laughing at gentle parenting?
It's just a really funny term.
Wish I'd been gentle parented.
Well, not being gentle parented has not stopped you from being a prime example of learned helplessness.
Being insufferable, I know, yeah, it is true. Yeah. I've gotten better in recent years, I'm not being funny.
Yeah, learned helplessness is a phrase that is often used to describe Gina Tonic, I will say.
Right, do you want to explain what it means?
Learned helplessness is a psychology term applied to children's habits. Why work out how to do something when you can get it done faster by asking someone and get gratification from the interaction? It leads to kids giving up rather than learning. And a prime example is at the Priscilla event the other week, Gina said to me, Ione, can I borrow a lipstick? And I said, ugh, why don't you bring your own lipstick? Because I was stressed. And then I said, yes, you can borrow a lipstick. They're in my makeup bag. My makeup bag was on the table in front of Gina Tonic. 20 minutes later, after her hair had been finished getting taken out, Gina Tonic goes, Ione, can you pass me a lipstick? It was in front of you.
I can't believe that of all the things that have happened at that party, good and bad, that's the thing that you're clinging on to.
No, I'm just saying
that you had to pass a lipstick out of a makeup bag.
I didn't pass it. I said, Gina, it's right in front of you and you can get it yourself. And you went, oh yeah, it is all right.
And then you passed it to me.
No, I didn't pass
in
it
a half.
You got it yourself.
You went, oh, yeah, fine. And I went, oh, thank you.
I'm just saying it's a great example of learned helplessness.
I don't think it is. It's just that I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah, right. You literally do it so much.
I stressed at my balls.
No, you weren't. You were sitting there, like, getting your hair brushed out, doing your makeup.
There was so much going on. Are you messing? Just because you don't see the internal wearing of my anxieties, does it mean that I'm sat there just listening, hearing in my head? But I do think that you think that a lot of the time.
Yeah, you are. You're going, where's lipstick? Mama, can I have a water? Anyway, as someone who the term has been applied to, how do you describe it?
Pretty much that, yeah. Well, I'm not being funny. If something can be done faster by a friend, like, why should I do it?
No, Gina, that is so bad. That is so ridiculous.
No, I think it's fine because I personally, and this is so separate to the topic that we're going to get into, if I'm faster at doing something for someone else, I will do it for them.
No, this is crazy. This is like, no.
That's community building, actually.
No,
that's
this is from a woman.
Everyone's resources.
This is from a woman whose boyfriend does up her shoelaces. Like, they're not community building exercises. We're talking about it.
Yeah, but I'm dyspraxic.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but also he can't read and write, so I do all our bills and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh my God.
It's called playing to each other's strengths. He can't read and write, sorry.
Oh my God. This is, oh my God. So basically, Gina is one of the Gen Z people we are talking about. As a millennial, she is a another prime example. Yesterday, Gina was putting up a reel of our latest cover star, Geraldine Viswanathan, and went, Ione, what is a song from Drive Away Dolls, the film? As if I was
sorry. The fact that you've just seen it, and I was like, oh, maybe there's like a needle drop in it.
I saw it a week ago.
I just assumed there was a needle drop in it, because that's kind of emblematic of Coen Brothers films. I assumed there'd be a needle drop, Where Is My Mind by the Pixies or something. So I was like, I'll ask Ione quickly. I'm doing her a favour getting this reel up at half turn. I'm doing the company a favour getting this reel up at
half turn. It's not me you're doing a favour. I'm not the one that forgot. Anyway, I was
anyway,
at work.
Charlotte.
And then, so I went to Google, and I Googled Drive Away Dolls soundtrack.
Well, I would have done that. I just assumed that you'd have the knowledge.
I'm not going to remember the soundtrack from
the film. I'm never asking you anything ever again. The end.
And the ironic part of all of this is
you
used to be the queen of sending that, like, fucking snarky link, let me Google that for you.
I love that link.
And now you've literally become the thing you hate the most.
I've just stopped sending the link. I'll stop doing it. I'll bring it back.
You're so bright red. I wish everyone could see.
I've started just saying, you know what? Yes, I'll do that for you. Don't worry, I'll do that for you. And then when I ask a question, apparently all hell breaks loose. Jesus Christ. Should I be doing that again?
No, you can ask questions.
Gina, can I have an icy water? All right.
If you're going to the kitchen.
Well, I usually aren't.
Yeah, that's true, so I wouldn't normally ask you.
You normally would.
Because you're normally not going to the kitchen.
Oh, I'm not playing anymore. I don't want to do podcasts. Shut up. I don't care.
I say it all with love.
We're going to get loads of reviews. Please, can you give us nice reviews when we had that problem where we had a spate review saying we don't like each other? I'm a big 10-minute bicker on the podcast about what learned helplessness is, whether I have it.
I don't think it's a question of whether.
I think I'm very independent.
Okay. Well, we can bring that up another day. You are an independent woman. For all of your learned helplessness, there are lots of positives.
Can I have a food to make me feel better?
No, I can't think of them right now.
Great.
Sorry, my witch's cackle as well.
Yeah, I don't know, nasty.
Sorry.
You're not sorry, though, are you?
No, well, it's, I believe it to be...
You're really loving it.
I believe it to
you're
be
pissing
the truth.
Yourself then going, sorry.
Yeah, but you could just say the opposite about me. Like, I'm overly, like, anal. Like, I ask loads of questions all the time. And I'm annoying, but different types of questions.
I didn't ask you to slag yourself off to make me feel better.
Well, it's made you feel better, hasn't it? You're having a little giggle.
You just called yourself a great critical thinker of our time.
Well, you know what? If the shoe fits. So Gina and Charlotte found this video essay on YouTube called Land Helplessness and the Tech Literary Crisis by Tiffany Ferg. It was published February of this year. It's basically saying that, like, TikTok has rotted our attention spans. We can't even watch a 1 minute video anymore without asking people to speed it up, combined with an overconsumption of content that we can't possibly retain all the information of. The attention span is fully shot through. Learned behaviors from tech. What does that mean, Gina?
Well, it's a learned behavior from tech. So, like, what she's saying in the video is that the way that apps have changed now is that they reward you for short form content, and then that also reflects in the audience. So we, as viewers of this content, are rewarded because you get to gratified sooner, and then you get to move on to the next content, you get to absorb more content. So because of that, we want instantaneous results across the board from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying that kids who've only grown up with that kind of content are kind of like tech illiterate, because we the best generation on earth, have grown up learning technology kind of as it grows, and like having to like troubleshoot a lot of the time. Like, as so many people I know, like, knows how to download movies illegally, knows how to do, like, used to use LimeWire, used to just rip songs off YouTube and make their own CDs and stuff. Whereas Gen Alpha, maybe like the younger of Gen Z, are going straight into technology at its peak, at its most user-friendly. And that means that they don't know how to, not, they aren't, and because they've gone into that generation at that age, people assume that they're tech literate without giving lessons anymore in schools. Computer classes don't exist in the same way. Like, I remember having IT as a separate thing, but also just like general computer lessons where they'd be like, this is how you do a Word doc, this is how you do a board run, this is how you do Excel. Like, that was separate to IT, but apparently that doesn't really exist anymore.
I mean, I will say for me, that was IT.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I don't think it was, like, I had computer lessons in primary school as well as secondary school. So I remember in primary school, like, learning how to do a Word document and learning clip art and all that shite. But in secondary school, I kind of just remember it being more of the same. Like, I wasn't learning coding or anything. I was learning coding from, like, MySpace.
Yeah, no, I didn't learn coding in school, but we learned, like, how to use, like, 3D modeling programs and stuff.
That would be more in, like, design tech.
Well, it's a different curriculum.
It is.
We went to school in different places.
It's true.
But yeah, they don't exist in the same way. They just assume that these kids, because they're tech natives, that was thrown around a lot, like the digital natives who are born into this world of digital stuff existing, that they know how to do loads of things. And because that lack of education is gone, and because the tech that these kids use is so immediately instantaneous, it means that they've kind of learned that that's how everything should be, whereas like a lot of tech and a lot of the world hasn't caught up to like being as user-friendly as, say, TikTok. Like, people wing out over having to use a printer, people wing out over having to use a label printer, people wing out over having to use like a scanner, like all sorts of different things that need, like, I think it was later on in the,
like, bolt-on tech, basically.
Yeah, it was later on in the research, was in an article for The Guardian, Elena Demopoulos said Gen Z faces workplace tech shame because they don't know how to use scanners. And they quoted, I didn't write down the name of the guy, sorry. They quoted someone who said, takes 5 seconds to learn how to use TikTok, you don't need an instruction book, but like you would with a printer. Content is so easy to access now that when you throw someone a simple curveball, they'll swing and they miss. That's why Gen Z can't schedule a meeting. Like, if there's anything that's additional steps to doing something, they haven't learned that. They don't have those capabilities anymore.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And I think where it like crosses over to maybe things that interest us, because also like, obviously, I think it's easy to be like, old man shakes fist at cloud about this, but it's an education problem in the sense that we should be teaching kids how to do this still. Like, it's just unfair on them, basically. And like, obviously, education here and in the States, and I'm sure in loads of other places, is like severely underfunded anyway. And there's like all those horror stories. Sorry, that's really true. Well, it's sad, of like, you know, teachers having to buy their own supplies and stuff like that. So it is like an education problem in terms of that, like, we're not equipping both parents and teachers. Like, they feel they don't need to do it, so they don't do it. And it's not in the curriculum anymore. And like all of this kind of stuff. So I feel like it's interesting because it also probably is devoid of like class discrepancy, because like, I'm sure they're not teaching Excel in private school. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I also think it will lead to like class discrepancy in the future, like when these people do enter the workforce, because people that are in higher paid jobs or like have private education and therefore are expected to enter their sectors like in a higher position probably will never have to do this stuff. Like if you go in on a manager position or like higher in like a hedge fund, you probably never do have to scan something. But if you have to like work your way up, then you're kind of fucked if you don't know how to do those things.
Yeah, there's that whole like meme joke that's like always ongoing, like, oh, I sent my boss a PDF and they sent it back being like, can you twist it around or something? Like,
yeah.
Like when you get to a certain level within a company, like you can just pass the buck on like little things like that rather than having to like sit down and learn it. And that's definitely like something that the upper classes always benefit from, is that they don't have to learn things in the same way because they can get by passing it on to someone who's underneath them in that hierarchy.
Exactly. That YouTube essay refers to a different written essay, Is Google Making Us Stupid, by Nicholas Carr for The Atlantic, saying that like the internet basically fundamentally changes how we learn and research things. We consume like a lot of content on the surface level. We don't try to draw our own conclusions. Like we kind of expect everything to be like a mind map or like a roadmap. We scan information as opposed to like really delving into it and like reading it thoroughly, which I definitely think is true. And I think that gets even worse when you consider short form video, for example. And this is something that we see so much in our comment section, where it's like, people obviously use short form. Well, some people use short form video as its own form of content, which I think also has its like pitfalls in terms of, it's like, here's what a femcel means. And then it's like, a femcel is a popularly derived term originating from. And it like, it's devoid of. Huh?
Go on, what? I'm interested now.
I don't know.
Like short form video from Ione Gambo.
Ask Charlotte. it's like devoid of context and nuance because it can only fit in a minute. So like realistically you can make what, like 2 points? We're obviously trying to cater, not we, but like everyone is trying to cater to the algorithm machine. So putting like the most like salacious point up front. And then there's an issue, I think, where I can where I personally really see the tech illiteracy coming in is when people, it's like they're blind to the context of something. So even though our content like very clearly points to more in-depth content, like read the full essay, listen to the full podcast, da, 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 da. We're not claiming either in any of those mediums to be like the authority on a subject, I would say, either just having an informed opinion. But people think that's the whole context of it. So then like base the validity of that content off of how they find that minute, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that that's the thing. Like, so much of the media that we put out on polyesterzine.com is opinion-based essays. So, but people can't handle an opinion online anymore. Like, they're like, well, that's a fact. You're passing that over as a fact.
Yeah.
So I'm going to respond to it as if you've said that it's a fact and tell you, like, how you're so wrong and, like, why I disagree and all this, like, other stuff. And then, additionally, they just won't seek out the full essay as well. So, like, any clip that can be taken out of context. And a lot of the time, the videos on our TikTok, on our Reels, aren't emblematic of like a whole essay. And a lot of our essays do give both sides of an argument. Do you know what I mean? Whereas like we'll present just one side in a short video to try and get people to come read the full essay. Because that's kind of like the point of our social media content, really. But people aren't. People won't. People are too busy like scroll onto the next thing or like fostering this faux anger over something that they haven't put the effort into understanding completely.
Yeah, so the Google is making us stupid basically says that tech advancements have led to a lack of critical thinking due to the way we find out information. And I also think it's interesting because like quite obviously our vocabularies have expanded so much in the last like I would say 8 years. So like because of, for example, like Trump, we know what misinformation means. Because of like the proliferation of social politics, we know what all of these words mean, like, you know, structural oppression and all of this kind of stuff. And because of therapy speak, we know what like trauma responses mean. So I think everyone kind of feels that they are clever because you have a big vocabulary. And I don't mean to sound mean because like, obviously it's impressive to have a big vocabulary, but instead of like using that tool to like expand, we kind of just use it to level or like develop a superiority about us.
Yeah, there's a bit in it where it's trying to say like we've now learned, like we've been turned into data processing machines, like because of the way that we interact with tech. So like efficiency is now like lauded over like interpretation, knowing like so much surface level information about loads of different things is kind of seen as smarter than having like a really deep and granular understanding of like maybe one topic, which is kind of like how knowledge worked before.
That's interesting because I don't necessarily agree with that because I mean we're kind of out of this era now, but for a long time we're not out of this era, but I feel like most people who will listen to this podcast don't respect it maybe. But most people who like gained a profile during the Instagram years or whatever were people that like honed in on one specific subject, whether that was like a specific facet of mental health or like a specific body shape or like a specific condition, all of these things, or like even like acne. Do you know what I mean? Like people became the expert on that. So I feel like that's kind of I feel like as a consumer, yes, you follow all these people because you want to know a bit about the thing they're giving information out on. But I think in terms of being like someone who maybe creates content or tries to use the internet as more of a capitalist tool or tool for your profile to build, lots of people do that like one-hit wonder thing.
I think it's across the board though. There's people who maybe have like a niche, but then they'll go into so many different things under that umbrella. Like they'll be a makeup artist, but then they'll do their makeup while talking about something else and like trying to hit all these different like KPIs.
Yeah.
I think there's loads of different like content makers for like different things. Like there'll be like a content creator whose thing is sex and then they'll talk about so many different things under that umbrella, rather than like say before people would be like, oh, I'm interested in like 15th century pottery and I know fucking loads about it. Like, and I know like briefly about other things that relate to it, but like that's my main jam.
Well, I think that goes back to like something that we talked about in the Stanley Cup episode where it was like hobbies versus knowledge almost. Like And how I feel like that's like quite a masculine thing to do, like have still, I mean, like have a very in-depth knowledge of one thing. Do you know what I mean? Like my like husband, for example, will spend like hours on like a particular subreddit. Whereas I feel like as a girl, like, this is probably generalizing, obviously loads. But like as, I don't know, I know me and you don't just spend like hours looking up like, I don't know, how to apply lipstick. The only thing a woman can be interested in. But maybe that comes back to the community thing as well, because we spend more time on Instagram and other social media apps because we're like looking, we're interested in what other people are doing rather than interested in a subject, I would say. Like we're generally interested in what people are up to or whatever, whereas some people just really hone in on like, I like this subject.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of like relates to Barthes, isn't it? Like when we were in uni, Roland Barthes has this theory called death of the author, and like you have to kind of separate what you know of the person who's written a text from, like, it's so easy to analyze a text by like knowing someone's, especially like historical text, by knowing like what that person was about. So like if you read like an Oscar Wilde play, how do you feel about my book? I don't know if he did plays. Probably. But without knowing he was gay, like do you still get that like context from it, stuff like that? Whereas now most of the information we consume, we do it because we like the person who's telling it us.
Mm-hmm.
Like that can't exist anymore. Like the author is so involved in the content we consume, and it also means that media has kind of like lost that impartiality, I suppose. Like when you used to research something and you'd have to pull in loads of different sources to get to the bottom of the matter of the thing that you were looking for, it would get to the point where you'd had so many different opinions that you would kind of like reach like your own decision on it.
Mm.
Whereas like if you're like, oh, I just want to watch one TikTok and it'll tell me a deep dive about this serial killer, you're still getting that person's point of view on it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think it's that, like, it, in my opinion, most media or like most anything we consume is not impartial. Like I think impartiality is like a bit of a lie, because if you're creating something, you have a view on it. Do you know what I mean? But I would say that like a lot of people don't consume content considering that it's not that it is biased, basically, that person has an agenda. Like I don't think we're very conscious consumers of things.
Mm.
I think we consume everything on face value as if it was made for us.
Yeah.
Which is how like the social media apps want us to feel. And maybe why what is happening over on Twitter, just a little segue into my additional essay research piece that I put on, is so jarring. So basically, I'm sure everyone's seen the like Pussy and Bio Twitter spam.
Have I?
Someone, well, Manuela Lopez Restrepo for NPR wrote an essay about it, like basically trying to get to the bottom of it. But I think that like Pussy and Bio, lol, is kind of just representative of how unusable the internet has become as well. And like, obviously not the whole of the internet, but social media in particular, and the fact that we are beholden to like a few particular apps, even though they're like full of spam. Like you can't post an Instagram story without having like 5 bots like it. You can't even look on someone's Instagram like grid anymore without seeing ads. Like Twitter, obviously, I'm just constantly getting pushed like Bitcoin stuff. I thought it didn't exist anymore.
I think it exists, but I don't think anyone give a shit.
Maybe that's why they're taking out Twitter ads then.
Well, I think Twitter ads kind of like lost their, under Elon, they lost like their as much strict rules, and loads of traditional advertisers pulled out. So then they've just got the space to like,
well, this article is actually kind of arguing differently. So it is saying that like Twitter is basically like a magnifying glass of how a site can like spectacularly crash and burn, but that it's more emblematic of the rest of the internet than we think. So this article says, for years now, users and tech reporters have observed what they say is the real-time decay of websites, social media platforms, and search engines. Put simply, the internet sucks more now. Cory Doctorow, a tech journalist and science fiction writer, coined the term entsification.
Enshittification. Yeah.
Oh!
The enshittification of the internet has become shit.
I didn't know. I just took those 3 little stars at face value. See, I'm guilty. Yeah,
a little bit of comprehension.
I'm guilty.
Stop doing your learned helplessness at me.
Shut up. As a way to describe how many of the places we populate online have been getting worse and how users aren't given many alternatives, Doctorow spoke with NPR's Ari Shapiro in December about the life cycle of apps and the death spiral of the user experience. The fate of Facebook, for example, can provide some insight into what the future may hold. Basically, like, Facebook is crap. Like, people don't want to advertise on it. People don't want to use it. No one's getting a good deal. We're all, like, trapped here. And that's the final stage, Doctorow says. This stage, where there's just only the residual value left on the platform that the platform owner thinks will keep the users and the business customers they bring in stuck to the platform. And that's when we're at the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
And then there's also been other pieces about, like, because, you know, how everyone's talking about, like, the next big app, how there might not be a next big app. And the social media companies gambled on the idea of endless growth and the idea that people would always be comfortable spending a third of their days racking up screen time when it's, like, not really the case anymore. There's also, like, a few tweets in our research that say similar, like, oh, I hope that, like, how shit social has become, like, forces people to log off and go outside. I don't really think that's going to be the case, to be honest. Like, I think the internet is here to stay and it's up to us as, like, people that use the internet and care about it to try and make it good.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I remember seeing, like, a really good video being like, oh, in, like, 100, 200 years time, everyone's going to be like, what the fuck, as if people in the olden days used to sit around and just, like, type into little boxes and stuff. But I don't know if there will be a world here in 100 years, to be honest. So.
No, there won't be. We're in the end times.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, well, whatever, let's all do what we want until...
Tap on our little boxes.
Tap on our little boxes. I think... Like, if the internet's always been like the people, it's never been about, like, the people who make apps are doing it for profit. They've only ever been cared about is, like, advertising on it. Yeah. And I just don't believe that, like when people are like, oh, when Facebook was made and it was, like, made to do this and that's why everyone loved it, it was like,
made to rank how women look.
Yeah. And it was, well, it was like brought in all these people to be like human connection, and it still tries to sell itself as that, but, like, it is at the end of the day just like a platform for ads.
Yeah.
The internet's literally just for ads and porn, and that's sad. But we have, like... But the users have made internet spaces into, like, really beautiful things where, like, we can interact with each other and have these, like, real human connections that are sometimes, like, deeper than I think that you can have in real life. And, like, that's kind of, like, why it's so sad, like, the death of Tumblr and stuff, because, like, me and you and so many people I know, like, learned who we are on, like, platforms like that, and the only reason that we did that wasn't because of the person who made it and was, like, selling, flogging the ads on it, because a bunch of teenagers took it over and made it, like, their own sacred spaces. And I just think, like, we're missing that, like, is there going to be a next big app? I don't know. Like, I just don't see where, like, everyone thought it was going to be TikTok, and now most TikTok users are in their 30s. I just don't know what the next big app would hold.
Mm-hmm.
And if Gen Z's, like, thing is to take it back to the beginning, if the, not Gen Z, but, like, Gen Alpha was to use apps that are really user-friendly, and then fuck them off to just spend more time outside, the tech illiteracy problem's only going to get worse.
That's true. And with that, we are done. Thank you, Gina. Thank you, Olivia, for editing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.